We're in a series titled Summer Wisdom. This is part 3 out of 4 today. And here is the purpose of this. It is to get a mindset for this summer of how to enjoy it. We want to be wise people. We want to enjoy life. We want to make our lives count. So in your notes on the sermon listening guide, there's a passage from Proverbs 3, 13 to 18, and I'd like for us to read those together. It's in your notes. Let's read it. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Here's what the writer is saying. If you want to live a happy life, if you want to live a life that thrives, not just survives, you want to live a life of abundance, you want to live a life that you feel good about, you know what the secret is? Getting this thing called wisdom into your soul, God's wisdom. And the writer says she is a tree of life to those who embrace her. And to those that lay hold of her. In other words, if we want to get it right in life, embrace the wisdom of God through the scriptures. And you know what the end result is? You will be a happy and you individual and you'll have a blessed life. As Ray talked about the song they sang, the big idea, let's say it together. God wants you to thrive, not just survive. So we're creating a mental mindset for the summer. So that the summer, while it gets busy and hectic, we want to have a mindset that, wait a minute, I was meant to thrive, to do well, to be blessed, to feel good about my life, not just get by. God wants his children to live from a place of abundance from within. His spirit flows within us. The river of life is in our hearts and spirits. And he wants us to experience a sense of abundance and blessing in everything we do. So today, it's Father's Day. And I've titled the message, How to Be a Wise Father. How to Be a Wise Father. Now, here's the good news. If you're a female, these principles apply to you. So you're good. Hopefully everybody can get something out of it. But how do you be a wise father? How do you make good decisions on behalf of your kids, your marriage, your family, your workplace, so that your life can be one that thrives? The answer is found in God's word, and he says, wisdom from above is a tree of life to anyone who embraces her. So today, we're going to embrace wisdom. And so the message, how to be a wise father, I want to share with you 4 simple thoughts of how to do that. How to just to be a wise person. 4 simple ideas. Let's get started. It's in your notes. Point number 1. Be careful where you walk, stand, and sit. Let's read verse 1 in your notes. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. So we find in this verse, the very first word is the word blessed. You know what blessed means? Happy. Happy is the man or the woman who pays attention to where they stand, where they walk, and where they sit. You know why? It's where we do life. Think about it. Any given day, you're sitting right now. You walked in. And you stand. We stand, walk, and sit all day long. And the writer says this, be careful where you do all three of those things. I was up at the jail Friday using this same material, and I asked the question. I said, hey, what do you think this verse means? Let me share some of the answers. One guy said, you will become who you are around. How about this one? They will rub off on you. We will adapt to their ways. And one guy said, you know, it's just how you do life. Now, the significance is this. We have to be vigilant of where we walk, stand, and sit. Where do we walk to on a regular basis? Is everything good where we walk, or are there some places we shouldn't walk to? So there's some events, parties, whatever it is, maybe we shouldn't go to. How about stand? Who do I stand among when I get together with my friends? Who are they? Am I standing in a good place? And then sit. Who do I sit with on an ongoing basis? Now, probably the majority of the people in your life are good people. But maybe there's something that God wants to weed out. You know, it's called wisdom. Notice it says, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Voices into your life that may not be healthy. Also, don't stand in the way of sinners. What kind of stuff is going on with the group of people I want to hang out with? Careful. Don't stand with them. And then lastly, where do you sit? In the seat of mockers. These are the people that make fun of us being here today. They have no place for religion. They think it's just mockery. You've heard, you know some of those people. And God is saying, hey, blessed, happy is the man or the woman who takes notice of all that. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says this, it's in your notes. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circle the word circumspectly. Circumspectly. Think of the word circle and circumspense. Circumspect. They're related. Here's what it means. I'll let Michelle put the picture up. It means 360 degrees. So when you stand, sit, and walk, you take a look at your life. And you do a 360 review. You get it all. You go to the top of the tower. You look around. It's an incredible view. You see it all. And when we do the 360 review, we become observant. We become perceptive. And we weigh carefully what we see. Because happy is the man or woman who takes note of where they stand, where they walk, and where they sit. Number two. The second thing we can learn about how to be a wise father or a wise individual is to live a life that is instructed or nourished or directed by the Word of God. Read with me Psalm 1, verse 2 in your notes. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Circle the word meditates. Now, the word meditate means to process, to reflect on, or to study, and even to memorize. Now, here's my question. How much of the Word of God is being meditated on by you in your hearts over the course of a week? Up at the jail, I believe it was in the ladies' pod, I asked him a question. I said, how many can quote any kind of a scripture, even a phrase? And there were some ladies that just rattled it right off. They knew John 3:16, different passages and portions. And then there were some that couldn't do anything. Good question to ask ourselves. Could you quote any kind of a verse or any phrase of scripture that has become a part of your life where you've meditated on it and it's just become a part of you? You know why? The life that is truly blessed has processed the Word of God to such a level it's in your spirit. And you know what happens when it gets down in your spirit? You live a transformed life. And you know what else? You are the best version of yourself because you allow that to become a part of your life. Now, Psalm 119:11, in your notes, let's read it. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Circle the word hidden. Here's what it means. Tuck it away. Store it. Your heart is a storage tank. And hopefully what is hidden in it, down deep, are phrases or scripture that encourages and instructs and directs your life. Because the more you get that in you, the deeper it goes, the greater your happiness factor in being blessed. And wherever you stand, sit, or walk, you are going as God's representative, and you just have an abundant life. Job 23:12, let's read that one together. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Circle the word treasured. Here's what he's saying. It is so highly valued, I treasure it in my heart. Now, Job, as you know, he lost his livestock. He was being tested. All 10 of his children died on the same day. All 10. A storm came over the house they were at, and they all died. He then lost his health. His wife told him to curse God and died. But in chapter 23, Job says this. He says, I've treasured the words of God that come from him more than my daily bread. You know what that means? There will be times in your life where more food will fail. You know what we need? We need the Word of God to sustain us in life and death issues. And Job said, I treasure that, the words of his mouth, more than my daily bread. I know some of your life stories out there. And this I know about some people, probably all. You've had your back against the wall in situations that was so intense, you didn't know what to do. It was life and death. And the only thing that sustained you is the promise from God that he would be with you and that he would help you through it and deliver and rescue you. Job says, hey, know that it's going to happen in your life. You've probably already been there, and you'll be there again. The Word of God is the backbone to living a wise life during this earthly journey. It's the foundation. It's the solid concrete that we just lay hold of. And when we live a life that is instructed, it's nourished, it's directed by the Word of God, you know what the end result is? We're blessed and we're happy. I got a picture, and you might think it's out of place, but I'll have Michelle put it up. It's a picture of a cow. A cow has four compartments in its stomach. Not four stomachs, I learned this, but four compartments. And one is the rumen, the reticulum, the omasum, and the abomasum. Okay, that's about as good as I can get. The first part of the stomach, the food is just broken down. The second compartment it can become in such a state that you can regurgitate it. And the third part is when there's nutrients that are being absorbed, and the fourth compartment, enzymes actually digest it. Now, it goes through this process, and we've all heard the saying, chewing their cud. Oh, the cow's chewing its cud. You know, just. And here's what it's doing. It's getting the nutrients out of it. You and I have to literally meditate on God's word over and over again. Let it become so much a part of your spirit that you get the nutrients out of it. You get the strength, and it literally transforms your life because it's inside you. So this week, I have an assignment. I want you to have some cow time with the word of God, all right? Get your Bible out, get one promise, one phrase, and literally spend time with it. You know why? It will literally instruct our life. We'll become wiser where we walk, stand, and sit, and it can change our life. All right. Number three. Third truth I want to talk about how to be a wise father or mother. Live a life that is fruitful and prosperous. Read with me verse 3 in your notes. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So here's what the writer is saying. Your life can yield fruit wherever you go. You're an awesome dad to be around. Your kids love you. You're a magnet to grandkids. The kids in the neighborhood, you just bear fruit. Not only that, he says, you can be prosperous in everything you do. Whatever you do, you can prosper. I love that. May not be monetarily, but you just prosper in all that you do. Now, in the middle of that, there's this phrase, whose leaf does not wither. I want to show you a picture of a tree whose leaf does not wither. Men, this is your life. When you lean into the wisdom of God in your faith connection with Him, this is you. Your leaf does not wither. It is green, it is plush, it is abundant, it is attractive, and people love you because of it. That's God's plan for you. And so as we think about this, Jesus said, according to your faith be it done unto you. The foliage factor of your life is when you lean into this wisdom of God and he just blesses you with fruitfulness, he prospers what you do, and wherever you go, you're a green tree to the people around you. That's awesome. We have a lot of green trees in the sanctuary, people that are just love God and want to make their life count. You know what? They're fun to be around. Guys that really, it's great to be with other guys who just love God and you try and do good and you're doing the best you can, and that's just an enjoyment of life. So number three, live a life that's fruitful, prosperous, and the green foliage never fades or withers. All right. And finally, number four. The fourth thing is this. Live a life that God will bless. Now, in Psalm 1, and the reference is wrong, Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man, happy is the man. Now, I want to make a point here. This is what it means. Live a life that is blessable by God. Now, here's a slide I'll have Michelle put up. Blessable. In other words, there's certain things we just need to avoid. You know, there's certain sins, certain things we shouldn't do because it's displeasing to God. Stuff we watch on TV, on the internet, things we look at. Arrogance in the home, the sense of having a bad attitude or being unkind to the people. God can't bless a heart that has that in it. Here's what you want to do. take note of your ways, how you do life, where you stand, sit, and walk. Say, God, I need you to help me. And I just want you to bless my life. Live a life that is blessable by God at the highest level. In other words, position yourself before him in what you do all week long, day to day, so that he can just pour out goodness upon you. You realize that's what he wants to do? This is Father's Day. I mean, the whole year, Lord willing, is ahead of us. He wants to bless you in a greater way going forward. So we find here then in Proverbs, or it should be Psalms 1, 4, and 5. Let's read that together. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So there's two groups of people. There's the way of the wicked, or people that are not believers. There's the way of the believers, who are the righteous. It's not our righteousness. It's a gift from Christ. It's his righteousness in us. But there's an interesting, in these two verses, they start talking about chaff. Now, I grew up in Iowa, and as a kid, high schooler, I baled hay and straw. That was back in the day where I had a wagon behind the baler. Small bales, they weren't the big ones. But you'd have a hook, that bale would come off the baler, and you grab it, and you start stacking it. And it's a hot job, fun job, made some money. But I did learn a few things. On the wagon, you'd find these little pieces of hay or straw. And, you know, they're just laying there. And you know what we did with that? We'd kick it off the wagon. It's no good. It's in the way. Or the wind would come and blow it away. The writer here says the wicked are like chaff. Their life doesn't count much. They just get kicked off. The wind blows it. And he says, hey, be the kind of person where God can bless you. Live the righteous life. God watches over the way of the righteous. People who have received the righteousness of Christ and they're living for him. They are the people that God will continue to bless. So four simple things. How do you be a wise father or mother? Number one, be careful where you walk, stand, and sit every day. It's called a 360 review. And when you figure that out and you analyze what you're seeing and you say, whoa, I need to make an adjustment here and I need to make one here, you become wise and wiser as time goes on. Number two, live a life that's instructed and nourished and directed by the Word of God. Find some cow time where you literally embrace a scripture and you meditate on it, get it deep into your soul. Number three, live a life that's fruitful and prosperous, where your foliage on your tree never withers. I love that. And finally, number four, live a life that God will bless. Make yourself as the best blessable person you can be, and God will continue to pour good things into your life. All right. So I have one closing slide. Here it is. This is from the book of Deuteronomy. And the first 14 verses of chapter 28 in Deuteronomy are blessings when someone obeys God. He says, if you obey me, I will bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the country. I will bless you wherever you go. If you obey me, I'll make you prosperous. If you obey me, I'll bless your work. I'll bless the fruit of your hands. And it goes on and on, 14 verses. And it says in there, you are the head, not the tail. God will make you the head. He will bless you in such a way in your family, where you work, in your community. You'll be a leader. You'll be the head. Now, there are then 54 more verses. And you know what it says? 54 compared to 14. They're warnings that if you don't obey, this is going to happen. In other words, if you don't make your life blessable, you're going to go off the guardrails, you're going to hit them, you're going to go in the ditch, and it's just, it's bad news. But the promise I want us to end this on is this: you're the head and not the tail. Guys, understand there's authority from God that he wants to bless you as the man in the home, the man in the church, the man where you work. And he wants you to be the head, not the tail. Just walk under his authority to do that. So guys, happy Father's Day to each of you. Thank you for all you do. I'm going to lead us in prayer. So would you close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's pray together. You know, the first question to ask is, where's your heart in relation to Jesus? Now, for some, you're just walking with him. For others, maybe it's first time making a decision. Say, hey, I invite Christ into my life. Maybe that's you, and you say, Lord, help me today. Come into my heart and life. Forgive me of trying to do life my way. Or maybe it's just recommitting and saying, I need to get up to date. I just did a 360 review, and I got to get a few things in order. Maybe that's you, and God's calling you to change. That's good. Father, I pray your blessing upon every person here and everyone listening online, that you will bless our lives with godly wisdom. And this summer, we will thrive, not just survive. We will literally be the head, not the tail. We will overcome. And through a mindset of faith, you will give us an amazing summer, maybe the best one we've ever had, all because we're embracing the tree of life, this thing called godly wisdom. Bless each person here today. Give them a good summer. In Jesus' name, amen.